Welcome to A Culture of the Supernatural. Hi, this is Apostle Jonathan Bird. Using my experience as a springboard, I want to share with you steps that you can take to begin the process of walking in the supernatural. Amazing progress can be made by both men and women who are willing to be discipled. True freedom is a result of understanding and receiving the truth about yourself and your Creator. Come and join with me in today's message. Title of the message I want to bring to you this morning is Familiarity is the Kingdom of Loss. If you're taking notes, you want to write that down. Familiarity is the kingdom of loss. I'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that you are subduing every heart and taking every thought captive. Holy Spirit, your presence is welcome here. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to worship and to praise your name, to give you glory and to give you honor. We ask that you would be magnified, be large inside of our hearts and in our minds. For we secure this place and this space now, and we declare the presence of the Lord is the ruling factor here. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you still would do. We give you glory and authority. And by that authority you have given me in Jesus' name, I bind, rebuke, and restrict every demonic spirit in this place. I place you up under arrest. I say you cannot speak and you cannot hinder. I command you to leave this presence in the name of Jesus. Spirit of heaviness, I command you to go now. And I declare that the people of God is free to hear the word of God, to receive the word of God, and to believe the word of God by faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Young people today live in a world that is very, very spiritually charged. Yet most of them go to church that lack spiritual or supernatural power. Witch doctors control villages. Psychics advise presidents. And decisions are made based on astrological signs that we live in and we see today. Much of the church is still preaching to a generation they believe that have no faith. While the problem is not a lack of faith, but the misappropriation of the faith that they have. The seasons have changed, and the boundaries have been shifted. The seasons have changed, and the boundaries have been shifted. Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And if you know the story, the command from Pharaoh was that all of the firstborn males of the Hebrew born would be put to death. But they hid Moses for 3 months. And all of the midwives was to report to the king about all of the males that were born and then put them to death. There was a genocide. By faith, Moses, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What a statement that is. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who was invisible. What a statement. That might be a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. Do we endure seeing him who is invisible? Do we look for a city whose builder and maker was God? Now turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 20, and I'm going to begin with verse 1, Numbers chapter 20. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin. the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam, Moses' sister, died there and was buried. Moses' sister Miriam was a prophetess. She prophesied and sung how God had given Egypt the victory, the Israelites the victory when they came out of Egypt by drowning all of Pharaoh's army into the Red Sea. Now, there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brother died before the Lord." Now, listen to their testimony. Here they are. They were really had salvation in Goshen in Egypt. But salvation is only the beginning. Salvation is not Jesus. And so they said, only if we had died when we were in Goshen. God protect them while they were in Goshen. God provided for them while they were in Goshen. And they wanted to go back to the onions and the cucumbers, and they wanted all of those things. They said, "You brought us out here to die." Yet God fed them every day with manna from heaven. And then when they complained, God gave them quails. And they ate so much meat until the Bible says it came out of their nostrils, and they were in totally sick. It was just never enough. It reminds me of the passage of scripture in the book of Proverbs that said that there was a man named Leech. Can you imagine having a name called Leech? Well, they said this man named Leech had two daughters, and their names were Give and Give. And then he went on to say that it's just like the soul, it never gets enough. The eyes of the soul never get enough. Verse 4 of that 20th chapter of Numbers. "Why have you brought us up, the assembly of the Lord, into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water." So Moses and Aaron went before the presence and the assembly of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together and speak to the rock." Everybody say, "Speak to the rock." "Before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give them drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear you, rebels." Oh, that's not what God told him to say. God is the God of redemption. He's the God of grace. And so Moses comes and he cursed them out of his mouth. And he called them rebels. Now listen to what he says. God never told Moses to do that. He says, "Hear you, rebels, must we," plural, he and Aaron, "must we," not God, "but must we," title of the message is "Familiarity is the Kingdom of Loss," "must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And then Moses lifted the rod and he struck the rock. "Hear you, rebels, must we perform this miracle for you?" And so instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock. And he just didn't hit it once. He struck it twice. And God's son was only going to die once, the Rock of Ages. So Moses hit it twice with his rod. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drunk. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. In other words, you didn't give me glory. You didn't give me glory, Moses and Aaron, when you had the opportunity in front of the people. And God had a reason for telling Moses this. He says, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I had given them. And so now listen to what God says to Moses. You would think this was absolutely unfair. God, you called Moses, and now all of a sudden you tell Moses that he can't go into the promised land. So let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants, and I have caused you to see it with your eyes. Have you ever been so close? Have you ever got so close only to see it given to someone else? Have you ever come so close that you can almost reach out and touch it, and all of a sudden it's snatched away from you? He says, but you can see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And so he, God, buried him in a valley. Now God buried him. The devil's been looking for Moses' body for a long time. In the book of Jude, it said that Michael rebuked Satan. He just simply said to him, the Lord rebukes you, because he was looking and searching for the body of Moses. Can you imagine that if the devil had to discover where Moses' body was, all he had to do was put his spirit in it and rise it up, and Moses could have deceived many generations. Moses was a gifted leader when God used to bring Moses out to deliver a nation out. So Moses was a gifted leader whom God used to bring about his plan for Israel and the world. He was a man of faith and prayer who leads God's people with a rare combination of humility and courage. That's how Moses started out. Do you remember when you got born again? Do you remember when God washed away all of your sins? If you're like me, I do. I remember when I was laden in sin. And God took the heavy burden of sin off of my shoulder, and he destroyed the yoke from around my neck. And I remember when that time happened, I said to God out of my own mouth and from the sincerity of my heart, God, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Does anybody remember how humble you was? Moses, he was blessed with good looks, just like me. Intelligence, opportunities, and eloquence. And he had leadership, great leadership ability. Exodus 2 and 2 says, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 20 through 22, these words. This is the report of the witness or the testimony of Stephen just before he was stoned to death. At this time, Moses, he's recalling the testimony of Moses. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. But when Moses was on the backside of the desert and when God appeared to him after he had been there 40 years, I want to be merciful when I think about Moses because God had asked him an impossible task. Now, Moses was in Pharaoh's house for 40 years, and he was now in the desert. He goes and he marries a preacher's wife, and he is in the desert now for 40 more years. And Moses is 80 years old. So he's on his second run. A generation is 40 years. So now the second portion of Moses' life, he's 80 years old. And God comes to Moses, and he says, Moses, I'm going to do a new thing. And the first thing Moses says, me? Why me? Who am I? So Moses now forgets his own identity. He's confused about now who he really is. So the scripture describes Moses as a man of God and the servant of the Lord. His relationship with God was so intimate that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. The life of Moses shows God's faithfully keeping his covenant promise, graciously rescuing his wayward people, powerfully defeating their enemy, and generously providing for their needs every single day, and wisely showing them the way of obedience. Moses, the lawgiver and the emancipator of Israel. He was the educator in the king's courts and one of the mightiest emperors that ever existed in the world at that time. Moses. Moses did more miracles that are associated with Moses in his lifetime than with any other biblical character in the Bible except Jesus. Moses was praised for his faith, his education, his meekness, and his courage, but he was only remembered for his loss of his promised kingdom. Moses' life was divided into three major seasons of transition. The first 40 years were spent in Pharaoh's courts. The second 40 years were in the desert of Midian. That's where he married his wife, and his father-in-law, Jethro, spoke wisdom into his life. The third and the last 40 years was in the desert of Sinai. He was the only one among the Israelites who had desert training. None of them ever lived in the desert before. They all lived in Goshen in Egypt. Moses only had a 40-year degree, and God says, I want you to bring deliverance to a people who had 400 years of bondage. An impossible task for a man, but not impossible for God. There are three stages of transition for each and every one of us, and we are in that stage, one of those stages right now. The first one is closure. You can never walk in a new way, in a new season, in a new thing unless you close the door to the old thing. Some of us are still trying to hang on to both places. We want the new, we're stretching for the new, but we're pulling the old. So the first stage of transition is closure. Then the second stage of transition is conversion. All three of these transitions is a portrait of Moses' life 40 years at a time. The first 40 was closure. He had to bring some closure when he ran from Egypt and he ended up in the desert of the Midians. He had to close that door. Everything that he ever learned in Egypt was left behind. Everything that he ever owned in Egypt, he had to leave behind. All the glory, all the accolades, he had to leave behind. All of his education and his degrees, he had to leave behind. Sounds like the Apostle Paul when he met Jesus on the road of Damascus. Later on, we read that all of his accolades, all of his education, all of his training, all of his books, he burned on the dunghill. What are you willing to leave behind for the new place? If God can call Moses and say, Moses, I'm going to give you an impossible task that no man can do unless I am with him. If God was to tell you that, would you believe him? Now, I know some of us have a hard time just changing clothes. We have a hard time buying something new. Some of us have a hard time of cutting our hair different. So Moses had to deal with closure. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you have to go over and just slap the wall. His second stage was conversion. God had to do a work for 40 years in Moses' heart. Why? Because God was going to only be the only king. You see, God wasn't going to share his kingdom, his power, his sovereignty in Pharaoh's court. So God had to get everything that Moses learned in Egypt out of Moses so that he could bring conversion to him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing the things that God has to get out of you before he can walk you in the new way? The third stage was commissioning. You see, the new thing always required a new anointing, a new availability, a new sincerity, a new commitment, a new submission to God. You can't walk in the new thing until you transition or convert it out of the old thing and then willing to pick up the new thing and drop the old thing like it's hot. Some of us are still living under the damaged words of our parents or the damaged words of a school teacher or the damaged words of somebody in authority. We are still living under the bondage of it. I said, drop it like it's hot, because God wants to do a new thing with you. The purpose of transition is to give us the character we need to live at the next level of change and power. Revelation, confrontation, transformation, and manifestation is the process that God uses us to prepare us for the next dimension of life in the Spirit. As important as Moses' achievements were, they were all overshadowed by a moment of familiarity. Pressure produces a breakthrough or a breakdown, depending on how you see it. When God came to Moses and he said, Moses, I want you to speak to that rock. Moses was too familiar with God's power. He got too familiar with God's anointing. He got too familiar. And when God says, Moses, speak to it, it was the introduction to doing a new thing. He says, Moses, I'm going to do a new thing now. He says, the rod had its day. Tell the person next to you, the rod had its day. But he says, now I am ready to do a new thing, a new way. I want you to open your mouth now, Moses, and speak to it. But see, Moses didn't get it. He was so familiar with how God did a thing the old way. So when the moment of transition and change came, because he was so familiar with God, he became so familiar of knowing God. He knew God's character. He knew God's thoughts. He walked in God's way. He became so familiar with God when God says, "No, Moses, you're still a man." You know, sometimes we get so familiar with God, we talk about God like he's just so casual. You know how it is, don't you, parents? Your children get so familiar with you, they talk to you crazy, then you have to go pop. Because sometimes we just forget. There's a thin line between love and hate. And when you get too familiar with authority and power, you lose the ability of change. This is Apostle Byrd. So glad that you tuned into the podcast. I'm looking forward to you enjoying it again. Come with us soon and meet us with our next Supernatural podcast. God bless you.